living always in him, for he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. We lift this prayer in Jesus the Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
That the crowd welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. It's called the triumphal entry. It celebrates that he was coming as a symbol of peace, coming as a symbol of salvation. In our service today, we begin with that spirit of triumph, and we'll continue with that spirit through our offering season. But just like that week of Christ's final week of life turned drastically, so our service will have a drastic turn as we journey with Jesus through that week, remembering that the same crowds that welcomed him with shouts of Hosanna would be the very mob that would shout, "Crucify, crucify." And so on this Palm Passion Sunday, we move even to the cross, ending our service not with cheers and shouts and light, but in darkness and in silence. As we begin this service in that spirit of joy and triumph, we want to celebrate something very important. We just want to pause in our time and recognize a certain person who has been with this congregation as long as I've been here and even longer. Jacob, won't you come on up with that look of confusion on your face? Jacob Gardner has been worshiping with us faithfully and We for a long time saw him sitting right about here. He was here every Sunday, and then he gravitated kind of back this way with his guitar and his lovely friend who's been joining him as well. We heard her sing last week. And this is your last Sunday with us. And I just wanted to, and the choir especially wanted to say that we hate that. And we're going to miss you deeply. We appreciate everything that you've been to this congregation and how you have served Christ faithfully here, worshiped faithfully, and how you have been a friend to so many. And so we have a gift for you. That's a card with a gift inside of it as well. And then a Bible, an apologetics Bible. We thought, you know, after 4 years of higher learning, you might need to come back to that and learn a little bit more. So we want to just give you a big round of applause and appreciation. Thank you so much. We're going to miss you. Our hearts are full of joy, much like those in Jerusalem must have been like, with excitement and the buzz and the energy. And our lives are much like the lives of those people. We have ups and downs. There are moments like Sundays where we praise him. Then there are other moments that are more like Fridays where we don't even know his name. Let us continue to worship together as we sing our offertory hymn, Mighty to Save. If you're able, please stand. Thank you.
Let us pray. Oh, Lord, what a glorious day is about to come. Help us to see every day as an opportunity to share your love. Thank you for the different seasons you give us in our lives and the weather. Just as the spring is around the corner, help us to see your love and grace are available to us to warm us and give us hope for brighter days. Just as you have blessed us, please help us to be a cheerful giver and bless the gifts and the giver. And we ask this in your name, your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. Mark 14, 10 through 12. The one come to set all people free now finds himself in chains. Mark's gospel tells us immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So they came and went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and Judas kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I was with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled away. Would you bow with me? Your word, O Lord, says that all of them deserted you and fled. What are the ways that we have deserted you, O Lord? How have we fled from you? We desire deeply to be near to you, and we sing so passionately about how we want to come and draw close to you, and yet there are still moments in our lives when we desert you. We offer a moment now of silence so that each one of you might pause and make your own confession to the Lord. To pause and allow the Lord to search your heart and to reveal any desertion that still lingers in your mind and in your life. Would you take that moment now as we continue to pray? Lord, we desert you when we say one thing and do another. We desert you when we fail to commit. We desert you, O Lord, when we see those in need and we do not help them. We desert you when we see someone who is lost and we do not proclaim the good news. We desert you, O Lord, when we sing your hymns on Sunday and use your name as a curse on Monday. We desert you, O Lord, when we allow our selfish motives to drive us rather than being God-led. We desert you, O Lord, when we allow work and finances to consume us, even as our family is falling apart. We desert you, O Lord, when we neglect those around us that you have placed in our path to care for and love. We desert you, O Lord, when we are bitter and cynical and critical to the point where we cannot see the love and the life and the light around us. O Lord, change our hearts, melt us, move us. Even as we envision your son Jesus making his way along the road, cross on his back, may we be convicted and humbled, but also, Lord, that we might be freed from guilt and shame to live a life of faithfulness to you, that all of our days might be Hosanna days. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
To clear the narrow streets, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. Chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Thank you. the king. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Quickly, our service has turned from those joyful shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, to those tearful moments of confession when we are confronted with the reality of our own sin, the very cause for Christ's crucifixion. What could make right a world that has gone so wrong? What could set our captive hearts free again? What could wash away the sin of our lives? hopefully when you came in the worship service today, you collected one of these bags that were in the basket, and I want to thank my two helpers who were so diligent to try to encourage you. If you didn't get one, maybe you walked right past it. The basket will be here at the front, and you can come up after worship and grab one of these bags. This is a prayer guide for the week of Holy Week. Today we enter into this week-long process of prayer, of meditation, of really preparing our hearts and minds for our Good Friday service, and then ultimately the triumph and the celebration of Easter Sunday when we gather up by Holt Chapel for our sunrise gathering with the rest of the community. So I want to walk you through this prayer guide. It's something that you can do every day, and that's the challenge for you, is to take this bag and place it somewhere where you'll see it first thing in the morning or right before you go to bed, but someplace where you'll definitely encounter it throughout the day, each day this week. And you'll notice the first thing that you can see in there is a piece of fine purple. This represents to us the sin of mockery. If you recall the story of the crucifixion, when the soldiers brought Jesus before Pilate, Pilate said he could find no fault in this man. But to appease the crowd, he ordered him to be flogged. And that was usually a final punishment. It was not a death penalty, but it was mighty close. But in the process of flogging, beating Jesus, they also mocked him. They ridiculed him. We're told that they put on him a crown of thorns as sort of a mockery of a golden crown, or a crown of gold leaves like that of Caesar. And they placed upon his shoulders a purple robe. Certainly this purple was a symbol of royalty. It's a high and powerful symbol of someone who has wealth and importance, prestige, yet no doubt the purple cloth that they threw upon Jesus' back was torn and tattered. Maybe one they had even used on criminals before Christ. Maybe it was their standard in the corner rag, and they threw it upon him, and we're told that they mock saluted him. Hail Jesus, King of the Jews. In your prayer time with this Holy Week bag, the first thing to encounter as you take out the purple cloth is to allow God to reveal to you and say, Lord, how am I mocking you? How am I being insincere in my life? Where maybe it is that I come to church on Sunday, but I don't praise, I don't really worship, I'm just a body there in the pew, standing silently during the hymns. Or maybe it's the way we talk the right talk around Christian folks, but then when we're around other people, non-believers, suddenly our jokes begin to change and our words and verbiage is altered, and maybe they couldn't tell at all that we were believers. We all mock Christ in these ways when we say that we are one thing, but then our lives and our actions reveal something different. Take out the purple cloth this week when you pray and just say, Lord, reveal to me. Is my life in any way a mockery? Am I fit and worthy of the title Little Christ Christian? Pray for forgiveness. Pray as your Lord, as the Lord leads you. You also see in your bag several wood shavings. You don't have to take yours out. These shavings represent to us the sin of inconsideration, being inconsiderate. How so? How does this represent that to us? We know that Jesus was crucified on a tree, a cross, that they were workers, those Roman soldiers, masters of torture and execution. They would have at some point taken out their tools and hacked away to form not only the standing piece, but the crossbeam that would have been laid upon Christ's feet. You can imagine that scene there. It's almost like a workroom. And there on the ground, I promise you, there would have been little chips, little shavings, little pieces of wood that didn't matter at all to the history of the world for the Roman soldiers, that would have been left behind or swept behind or left to rot in the dirt. They would not have been considered. You go all over Europe, every cathedral claims to have a little piece of the cross. If you add them all up, that's a really big cross. But no one claims to have a piece of the wood chip from the making of the cross. It's not a significant thing. As you hold that wood chip in your hand, as you run your fingers through it and feel the texture, the roughness, the splintery, prickly presence of that wood, say, Lord, what are the ways in my life that I'm ignoring you, that I take you for granted? So many times we see on our prayer list columns and columns of woe and misery and pain, and then under celebration, often weeks go by with nothing. Do we take for granted the blessings of God? Do we take for granted the ways that He is present in our lives? Do we take for granted the love of a little baby cooing and wanting mama? Those things are blessings from the Lord, and oh, how deeply they matter. Say, Lord, as you feel those chips, just say, Lord, how am I ignoring you and taking you for granted? You also see there in your bag a red bead. You might have to feel around for it in the wood chips, but it's in there. It's a symbol of the blood of Christ. I want you to know that God does not want you going around feeling awful and guilty and filled with shame. That the blood on the cross washed away the sin of the world. The narration said, what can wash away such a wicked world? But the blood of the cross is a promise and a guarantee. This week, as you come to that bead, just offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died so that I don't have to be dead to sin. And the last thing you'll see in there is a nail. Now, we will probably think about nails like these, big tools used to hang Jesus from the cross. And that is what this symbol reminds us of, but it also tells us this truth, that He nailed it there. That everything that you've ever done wrong, it was nailed there. There's a permanence, see, about nailing something, isn't there? There's a reason why Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the Wittenberg door. There's a reason why people nail wanted posters on the side of a building, because it's something about the permanence and the punctuation that this thing is powerfully stated and it's there for all to see. When we talk about forgiveness and mercy, Jesus nailed it. So again, your second prayer is like the third. I mean, your final prayer is like the third. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for nailing it upon the cross. That we don't have to bear these burdens any longer. We don't have to live with these sins forever. For Christ says, if anyone is free in Him, they're free indeed. Lord, we pray that you would help us use these symbols as prayer tools this week, that they might strengthen our faith and guide us into a deeper relationship with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Would you bow with me? The cross, a powerful image of power, of strength, of discipline, an image that goes through our minds during this week of Holy Week. But the cross, two pieces of wood placed together, is an amazing just couple days before it was a different portion of the plant. It was the palm branch that was waved in the air and Hosanna was proclaimed for the same who was being hung on the cross. Father, as we reflect on those two boards, those two pieces of wood, Father, we know that it was the blood that was spilt from that cross that changed our lives. And we give you thanks. Amen.
May remember as recently as the season of Advent, we had as part of our service the Advent wreath, and each Sunday of those four Sundays of Advent, a candle was lighted. It was a symbol that the light of Christ was growing, intensifying, coming into the world, and at Christmas Eve, we lit at last the center candle, the Christ candle, a reminder of the full presence of Jesus, born in the babe in Bethlehem. Today, on this Palm Passion Sunday, we, in many ways, do the reverse of that. We see here seven candles and the Christ candle. Each one of the burgundy seven candles, each one of these here at the back, represent one of the last words or statements Christ made upon the cross. We call these the seven last words. They're not just single words, but statements, something that Jesus wanted to communicate to all of humanity in his final breath. You think about what you would say if you knew your hours, your moments were counted. What would you want to communicate to the world? What would you want to say to the people that you love and care for? And so in a moment, we're going to hear each one of those seven last words. And as one is read, a candle will be extinguished, and we'll offer you a moment of just silence. to contemplate, to consider what that word might mean for you and for your life, for your family, for your community. Reflect on it in the silence. Or maybe you just want to sit with that word. But each word will be read and a candle extinguished and a moment of silence until we have heard the seven last words of our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Thank you.
the first word. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Luke 23, 34. The second word. Truly I tell you this day, you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23, 43. Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." John 19, 26 and 27, the third word. Mark 15:34, my God, why have you forsaken me? The fourth word. The fifth word, John 19, 28, I thirst. John 19:30, the sixth word, it is finished. The seventh and final word, Luke 23:46. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Mark 15, beginning in verse 37. Then Jesus gave out a loud cry and breathed his last. And the this curtain in the center of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now that when the centurion who stood facing him saw that this is the way that he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Would you pray with me? May the Spirit be with you in this holy week to come. May the Spirit speak to you deeply. May the Spirit rattle your bones and open your eyes and wake you up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. To the hymn, In Silence and in Darkness.